Okay. Well, we often talk about repentance in the Bible in relationship to something we have done that would transgress God's word. In other words, it means sincere regret or remorse for violating a command, a law, or a moral code that the Bible tells us about. In this case, God's desire is that we, his children, walk uprightly in obedience to following his ways, not those of our own. But isn't that the way it always is? That's what it's hard, because our flesh says, do this. No, no, don't listen to that. Don't listen to that. Do this instead. It's more fun, right? Well, you know, fun, I don't know about you, but before Christ, fun came to an end, and it was his glorious appearing in my life that was the greatest event that I've had. You know, when we fail to uphold God's standards in our life, the Bible tells us in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John 1:2, 1 and 2 says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation of our sins. Now, the propitiation means he's the one that paid for it. And that's the truth. But when we say yes to Jesus, he sees us as pure. The God sees us because we're covered in Jesus' righteousness. And truly, when we're covered in Jesus' righteousness, you would expect a change, right? A change in our lives. Doesn't mean we become perfect overnight. Lord knows. Been going for many years, and I'm kind of perfect, but not that perfect. No, but I'm glad that we have an advocate. And our confession of sin and true repentance in our hearts leads to our restoration in our relationship with God. Now, I kind of have that underlined. True repentance. Because it's easy to say, oh yeah, Lord, forgive me of this, and go down the road. And take it very nonchalantly. But you know what? When we understand God's heart, how much he loves us, and that our sinning grieves him as a father, then we need to look at when we sin, how different it is. And Lord, we apologize for, we sin because that we have a sin nature, and we thank you that you sent a Savior for us. And Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would give us strength, and that we listen to the Holy Spirit and say no to those things that would drag us down. Does that make sense, guys? Is it easy? Well, I can just say for this 75 going on 76-year-old, it wasn't easy for me. And my background as a professional musician, that was... It was really a change in life. It was like a 180 I did. And to the guys that I played with for 20 years in the clubs, when I quit, because I was the lead singer, the lead guitarist, I did it all, and I had two other guys, my bass player and my drummer, and they were my best friends. When I said no, we were booked for 6 months in advance, and they saw dollars floating away. But I said, guys, I know the Lord's calling me to get out, and I think he's calling you to get out too. Well, they went on for a little while, and I know the bass player, Joe, he's Native American, and it's hard for a Native American to come away from their native culture because their religion is built in. But he gave his life to the Lord. Praise God. Well, our confession of sin and true repentance in our hearts leads us to restoration, you know, and I'm so thankful for that, Lord. But today we're going to continue in the study of Joel, and we're going to just refresh our memories, but it's been a long time. So we'll start in verse 12. It says, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God." Now, true repentance is not just not uttering words. It's followed by action and even emotion, you know. We see that it says, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Our sin should cause us to weep and mourn this way because we're disappointing our Father in heaven. And for all we know, the angels are weeping and mourning because of what we do, because it's not the best plan that God has for us. So it's true repentance we see in a change of life. We see it with fasting, with praying for forgiveness, and with emotion, weeping and mourning. And I mean, not everybody weeps. You know, men are taught in our society, we don't weep. Crying means there's something wrong with us. We're not men anymore. But I can tell you what, the night I gave my life to the Lord, I was crying like a baby. Because I was confronted with all the junk that I had brought with me. Isn't that something? So, turn with all of our heart, with mourning. And it says, rend your heart, not your garments. It's easy to tear your clothes. But you see, remember who these scriptures were initially for. They were for the Jewish people. And that was culture. They would rend their garments, but their heart would still be in the same place. But it's the same for Christians. We say one thing, but our heart says, no, I'm going to remain what I'm doing. So keep that in mind. Everybody blows it. Everybody, all have sinned. But God is faithful to forgive if we will come and lift our sins up before him and say, Lord, I ask you to receive this. I am so sorry. And I'm sorry if this hurt you. Please make me stronger. Help me. It needs to be true. And I know some of you have got these experiences that, it's funny, a lot of people, it's not easy to come to the Lord. It's like the Holy Spirit's ripping us out of Satan's hands. And I know that's what happened to me, but my experience may not be like somebody else who was brighter than I was, who said, oh, yes, I see it. Yes, I'm there. God had to drag me, kicking and screaming. And then I said, yes. So we turned to him with fasting and weeping. You see, it just takes... It's not just saying it. There's action that's involved that means I'm changing because of it. So, it's interesting. Return to the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. He relents from doing harm. Aren't you so happy about that? That he... When he forgives us, he truly forgives us. He doesn't rub it in. What happens is that, you know who rubs it in? The devil. He comes back saying, yeah, see, you know, you weren't so hot after all. You're not, you... That inner voice, you just need to know how to quiet that down. And it says, who knows if he will turn and repent and relent. Well, you know what? The Lord is gracious. He will. But the action's on your part. You have to show him you mean it in here. You have to show it. So, in verse 15, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing babes, let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room, let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nation should rule over them. Why should they say among the people, where is their God? What does that remind you of? Who are God's chosen people? It was Israel. And they had all the advantages, and have the nations ruled over Israel? You know, when Israel came back into the land in 1945 after the war, maybe it was more like 48, you know what Israel looked like? It was a wasteland. But when the Jews came back in, this was their land, given to them by God specifically. And I don't care who's making claim to it today. Hamas and all the Muslim nations can make claim to it, but you know what? God gave it to Israel. And he's brought them back into the land. They cherish that land. You know what the land does now? It provides most of the fruit and vegetables to Europe. The land became a wonderful, field where God gave them ripe fruit, vegetables, and they shared it with the world. Well, they sold it, that's true, but we do the same thing, don't we? But the thing is that why would you sell to your enemies? They did. And I think that even the Jewish, and I'm not saying they're perfect, because they're not, and they never have been. But you know what? People who profess to be Christians, do they always show it? Have you ever faltered in your what you show the world? Have you ever blown it?
All the time.
All the time, huh? It's the truth. So, to really condemn a nation because of their heritage. Why would the world turn on somebody that we have the biblical facts that God chose them and they chose where they were to live? So, who's trying to take it away? Well, we know who he is. And people may disagree, but you can't disagree with the word of God. That's Israel's land. Do they make mistakes? Well, you know what? One of the biggest mistakes was they come back into the land, and if they just rolled over, there would be no Israel. Now, as Christians go, we persecuted them as well. And that's not right. They were God's chosen. God will be the one that disciplines them, not us. Has God disciplined you when you've kind of caused grief in his heart? Oh, man. He does. He's got a way of getting our attention, don't he? How many of you have really, he said, take a look at your own self. Yeah, take a look at yourself before you go accusing somebody else. When I look at myself, I go, ooh, I thought I left all that behind years ago. But you know what? The God of this world has a long reach, doesn't he? But you know what? The stronger I am in this, in God's word, the better equipped I am to battle with Satan for ground in my life. Well, return to the Lord, for he is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and relents from doing harm. God maybe opened my eyes and I was shocked, but he never did harm. You see, knowing the goodness and mercy of God is the motive for true repentance. When I look at what God did for me, what he did for us, he sent his only begotten Son to die on a cross in one of the most brutal ways of killing somebody. And the pain he went through, look what Jesus said on the cross, that it was so bad. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, God didn't forsake him because he rose from the dead 3 days after being entombed. And he sits at the right hand of God today. And he intervenes for us still. Isn't that amazing? So, the next time you blow it, and let's face it, we know we will, repent. Ask the Lord for forgiveness because he is gracious. He loves you. We're his children. And by the way, don't get too uppity. He loves the Muslims. He loves the Hindus. He loves all the people of the world. He just wants to see them come to him. And that's what they need to do. Now, you know, over the centuries, war has not brought these people around. And they've tried to bring Christians around and Jewish people around. But you know what? You get entrenched in what you believe. And they've taken up a lie. And we know that. We should be praying for those that are caught up in that lie. I love this. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and the nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach. What's the heritage? Jewish people have a heritage. They were chosen of God. They really need to pay attention to the New Testament scriptures. Here's what I like, is he says, call a sacred assembly. The whole worshiping community should gather together, from oldest to the youngest. That he even puts down there the nursing mom and the babe. To a holy fast and sacred assembly. For the blowing of the ram's horn was also used to call religious convocations. You know what? Here's something that that I took away from reading this, is that let the priests and the minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Now, what I envisioned, and I'm just telling you what I envisioned, is that on the porch was where the rabbis met with the people. And they would give out it was more like legalism. To be a good Jew, you need to do all these things. I'm not saying that they were wrong with saying what they needed to do, but what they didn't understand was how weak people can be and that they should be there for them. But we look at the priests, we look at the rabbis, we look at pastors, whatever you want to call those that come and give you God's word. How many of those have we seen in the news that have totally fallen flat on their face with the sin? Right? No one is above the ability to sin. In fact, like I said earlier, it's quite natural for us. But we've got a God in heaven that has given us a great way to avoid all that. And it's simply in belief in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, knowing that He paid the price for our sins, that we are saved with only the confession that He died for my sins. And I thank you, Lord, for that. Something happened to the priests, the ministers, and all that as they're out in front of people and they're talking to them between the altar and the throne. When you come down before God's throne, yeah, we want to pray for people, but you know what? Maybe the first thing we say when we kneel down and we're bringing God prayer is say, Lord, forgive me for what I've done and help me to be stronger. And then, Lord, help me to be an understanding, forgiving person, especially the priests, the pastors, the rabbis. We need to understand that we're not above that. We're not above sin. In fact, I don't know about you guys, but I sin regularly. It's just part of who I am. Is it part of who I want to be? No, it's not. It's not part of who I want to be. And it's a battle to fight this. But I just encourage you all to be aware of what our enemy does. He is sneaky. He can really, really think you're doing okay, and then all of a sudden you realize, man, maybe it's a stray thought that comes into your mind. Maybe it's an action. I have to repent every time I drive. And I have somebody that reminds me of that too. But, and that's not a joke, but it is funny. But it's hard. It's hard. Not just driving, but life is hard. That is why I encourage you. Have your own meeting with God daily. Pray for those that don't know you, as I know you guys do. But just a reminder. Pray for your pastors and your leaders. Pray for Pastor Mike. He's in a lot of pain, and I pray, Lord, that you would take him out of his pain, because anybody who's had surgery knows that can take a while, and it's not easy. But Lord, encourage him with your word. You know, being laid up, it gives you a lot of time to read. And I just pray for Michael, because he needs healing, and I know he'll use his time to, he's praying and reading the word. But let the priest and minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Pastor pastors and priests and rabbis should not come to kneel down before the Lord without realizing they've got some baggage to unload too. It's good to pray for other people, but you know, don't forget, and don't make like that you're above everybody in your loving the Lord. You're above everybody, that you're the most Christian person. But you know what? Words require actions, right? And I've got a lot of work to do, so you pray for me and I'll pray for you. I'm going to read through this, and I know I've taken quite a bit of time already, but in verses 19 through 25, the Lord will answer and say to his people, "Behold, I send you grain and new wine and oil, and will satisfy them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations, but I will remove far from your northern army, and will drive him away into a barren, desolate land." Those who attack Israel are going to have repercussions. And we look at this and we say, good gosh, who isn't an enemy of Israel? I mean, good golly. Do you know who's direct north of Israel by quite a few miles? Russia. And where is Russia holding up right now? They've got troops in Syria, right? Is it Syria? And then you've got Iran. You've got Turkey. You've got all these Muslim nations who want to try to wipe that out. And what this is pointing to, this is pointing to the end times battle. All these are gathering. I don't know when. God's told us, and I believe it. We don't know the day or the hour. You know, in my time, 1987 till now, there's a lot of times when I thought, it's got to be this year sometime because of everything that's happening. Now, I don't stick a stake in the ground, but I say, man, it's got to be close. Well, you look at it today. Could we not say, it's got to be close? We've got to be close to the time that we see what's written in the book of Revelation, right? But I don't know the day or the hour, and neither do you. So what that means is we stay on our knees, we pray for a sinful world, we pray for our neighbors, especially the ones we don't like, and the ones who treat us badly. We pray for the people we love, and like I said, pray for me because I don't do that as much as I should. I need a big change in my life. As a pastor, I probably was prone to praying more. But now I'm retired, it's like take a deep breath and you relax. Guess what? Some of that relaxation is laziness. I'll admit it. She already knows it. She's smiling. I'm sorry, hon. But let's see, where did I leave off? But I'll remove far from you the northern armies and drive them into a barren and desolate land. With his face towards the eastern sea and his back towards the western sea, his stench will come up and his foul odor will rise because of the monstrous things, because of the, he has done monstrous things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beasts of the field, for the open pastures are springing up, and the tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the vine, they yield their strength. Be glad, then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rains. This is exactly what I was talking about. When they came back into the land, it was a barren wasteland, and now they've made it this lush place that of harvesting fruits and vegetables and supplying them to a good portion of the world. In that little strip. Well, in verse 23, he goes on, be glad, you children of Zion, rejoice for the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully. He will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army I sent among you. Now, if you remember, and this truly happened, what came up from the northern parts of the deserts of Africa and all that were these swarms, a gazillion locusts that devoured everything on the land. God said he's going to take care of that. And can I point you to? He's done that for Israel. He has accomplished that for Israel. So now I want to pray for, as we close, I want to pray for Israel to find the Lord they rejected and to understand that Jesus Christ is their Savior, just as we know that. It's not easy when you get tied up in something. You know what? Atheism is as much a religion as Christianity, because people stick to their guns and they worship this things of this world, and they're the high priest in their own mind. So I want to end in prayer, and thank you for indulging me here today. We want to pray for Michael that he returns. Or else you're going to have me again. And just pray. Let's pray for the peace of Israel. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we ask, Lord, that you would heal our pastor, Lord, and take the pain that he's suffering right now. Take it away from him, that he might have rest and relaxation and he would heal. Lord, we also pray for the peace of Israel. Lord, we know that when that peace comes, it'll be because you're here with them, and that they will finally have recognized you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, Christians aren't better than Jews. We just have done something that is miraculous. Each and every one of us had our own day where we were posed with the question of, will you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the propitiation for your sins? Lord, I thank you that you gave us wisdom and that we gave up our stubbornness and let go of the things of this world and accepted you as our God and our Savior. Lord, we praise you in your name, the holy name of Jesus. Amen.